the conveners of this conference, with all the Christians in the vicinity of Vancouver, extend to all that have come tonight as friends to listen to the gospel a warm welcome. We've had a happy 3 days listening to the ministry of the Word of God. It has encouraged, blessed, and refreshed our hearts as believers. He's very kind of the brethren as well as the goodness of our God to dedicate this meeting for the preaching of the gospel, that you might be introduced to the only one that gives true joy, peace, and happiness, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad you're here. Now let's ask God's blessing on our coming together. Shall we pray? Our loving God and our Father in heaven, at the close of these conference meetings, we come to Thee with very thankful hearts. Even as the psalmist could say, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercies endure forever. We thank Thee for sending Thy Son into this sin-cursed world. We thank Thee for His willingness to go to the cross to put away sin. We thank Thee for the coming into the world of the Holy Spirit to convince and convict the world of their sin, that they might turn to Christ as the only remedy for their need. And we do pray, Father, that this meeting might be set apart for real blessing, as Jesus Christ would be the center and circumference of the gospel. And that if there are any here tonight, Father, that are troubled, they might find their way to the cross. And if there's any that are ignorant of the way of salvation, tonight might be a turning point in their life. Glorify the man whom Thou delightest to honor here and other places for the preaching of the gospel. We give Thee thanks in the Lord's name. Amen. Shall we turn to the scriptures, and my reading will be short. We'll go into the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 12, please. Luke's Gospel in chapter 12 and verse 49. Luke 12, verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Then 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And then in the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 16. Revelation in chapter 16 and verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And then I'll quote the final reading from the book of the Psalms in chapter 9 and verse 16. It's a fearful thing. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. God will bless to us the reading of these scriptures. Now at the beginning of the gospel meeting that I'm glad to share with my brethren, I would like to deal on the topic of four irreversible things. In the Revelation chapter 16, this world system, is on an irreversible course. That is Armageddon. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12, we read about the Savior. And he was on an irreversible course. And that led to Calvary. Thank God in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 2, the saints, the Christians, they're on an irreversible course, and that is heaven. And then finally and solemnly tonight, those in our gathering that have never been born again and touched by the gospel and have received Christ as their own and personal Savior, they are on an irreversible course that will lead eventually to hell and the lake of fire. It was President Reagan in 1983, when he was still the President of America, he was in a conversation with the Prime Minister of Israel of that time, Menachem Begin. And because of the conditions of the Middle East and other parts of the world, he said to the Prime Minister of Israel, "Are we living in the generation that shall experience Armageddon?" Evidently he knows something about prophecy. But we believe that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we would not like to assure those that are unconverted tonight that your time of opportunity in coming to know the greatest of all blessings, even the knowledge of sins forgiven through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, this world of which you are a part of, for the god of this world is the devil. He's the prince and the power of the air. And he's moving things, and the god is allowing things to head up in one of the great last battles, the battle of Armageddon. Conditions in the world, we would have to be blind not to realize that the end times are upon us. The Middle East, although they have negotiated and are trying to negotiate a peace, we know it's only on paper. Because when men's hearts have not been changed, and the love of Christ is not in their heart, they're seeking their own advantages. That's why we're having the problems that are in the world today. Think of the Rwanda problem there with 200,000 people that were massacred. Think of Bosnia today and its difficulties. It's not over yet. Think of the earthquake in Japan. Think of Sri Lanka and all these different troubled parts of the world. What the world is wanting today is a person that will take the reins of government, the law submit to, and that will be the person of the Antichrist. But my friend, as you sit in the gospel meeting tonight, you're still linked to a system that is fallen. It appears that you're on the side of the majority, but the majority is against God, and God will have to find the world. This world is on an irreversible course, and it's going to end in Armageddon. And we assure you tonight, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. Don't be grounded when the Lord comes. Be ready by coming to know, as we preach the gospel tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. The world is on an irreversible course. It will end in the battle of Armageddon. But saints tonight, and it's a wonderful thought, there's only two destinies, that's heaven and hell. We're on the one road or the other.
But for saints that are born again and have come to know Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, they are on an irreversible course, and that is heaven. I surprised myself this past summer when I joined Brother Bert Joyce for tent meetings along the Labrador Shore. I had found out in all the years that we had been trying to preach the gospel that I never just spoke about heaven as a topic all alone, referred to heaven many times. So I began to study the scriptures. And you know, the only thing I could say about heaven, and that's why we read this scripture tonight, 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 9, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." You know what I found out when I was reading the scriptures? That the only way I can understand through the scriptures about heaven was in the negative. You turn to the Revelation. The Bible says there's no night there. That's negative. There's no pain, no sorrow, and there's no death there. And finally I came to the conclusion. Heaven is not a mere place. Heaven is heaven because Christ is there. That's positive tonight. The one that died upon the cross is the one that's going to receive every last born again soul in that paradise that we read about. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered in the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love saints. We're going home to heaven for the Father. There's nothing in this world that holds us here. We have still those now on the other side, and there's an attraction there, but above all things, like in Arlington, with another brother, as we had gospel meetings, we were invited to a home some 25 years ago. A young married woman, and she coming up through the children's work and the Sunday school, she was converted. Married an unsaved man. She was near the end of her life. And her husband came in about a week before she passed away, and she said, he said to her, "Is there anything now that I can do to show my love and devotion?" Because it was a good marriage. "Yes," she says, "there is something I would like you to do, but I don't know if you'll do it all." He says, "You know, at least at this point of time, I'm glad to do anything to make you at ease and comfortable." "Well," she says, "would you ask those brethren that are preaching the gospel in the Arlington Gospel Hall to come over and visit us? Visit me." Of course, he didn't want this. But he had said his word and he was going to keep it. And we came in. The very first thing this dear woman that was soon to pass away in Egypt, he said, "Tell me about heaven. Tell me about the street of gold and the pearly gates and all those symbolical things about heaven." The brother that was with me said, "Listen, dear sister, if that was all true, and Christ wasn't there, wouldn't be heaven?" "Oh," she says, "no. He is the person that did it all." And so it is, my dear friend and fellow traveler to eternity. There are those sitting in the meeting here tonight, and they have had a time in their life's experience when burdened with guilt and sin, we came to Jesus as we were, weary and worn and sad, found in Him a resting place, and He has made us well. He did it. We saved. He saved by His work upon the cross. And that would bring us to the third irreversible point In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 50, where we read that the Savior was on an irreversible course, and that course was to go to Golgotha's Hill. As we read there, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how shall I be straightened until it be accomplished? My friend, in the holy soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that in the fullness of time came into this world had only one purpose, to go to the cross, there crucified between heaven and earth and between two alabasters. All the bills of God's righteous wrath and judgment against our sin without mixture was laid upon him. That's the baptism he's talking about. Submerged under the load and guilt of a vile world sin, your sin then in the meeting tonight. My sin. I was saved at a conference meeting like this in the year 1951. And I'm very glad that they had a final meeting in the gospel when the Spirit of God arrested me near the front of the building. And that night, I came to know that the one that was under the wrath of God because of my sin was the one that bore my sin in his own body in the tree. Now we can sing, oh happy day that fixed my choice. On thee, my Savior and my God, well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all above every day when Jesus washed my sins away. Are your sins put away? Do you know Christ as your own personal Savior? Has there been a radical change in your life by his coming into your life by the power of the Spirit of God? By receiving him as your own personal Savior. If not, all that he did upon the cross is of no avail to you. You will be led to our fourth point tonight. The sinners tonight, they are on an irreversible course that is hell in the lake of fire. Many religions in the world today are not preaching the gospel. An easy believism, just some good works, some morality, and church attendance, and everything will be alright because God is a God of love, and he would never send his children to hell. Now I believe that God is a God of love. He'll not send his children down to hell. His children are those among his creatures that are in the family of God by virtue of the new birth. Even as John 3 tells us, except a man be born again, he cannot see, not alone enter, the kingdom of heaven. The way to heaven is a person. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If on our morality or church going or whatever it may be, we could merit heaven, why did Christ die the death he died at the place called Calvary? No, this was to be the only way, because sin had to be put away. No sin will enter heaven. Only blood-washed ones are there, the ransom and forgiven. And so, friend, as you said in the gospel meeting, how solemn even the way back in the Old Testament, in the time of David, is recorded in Scripture, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. What is a wicked person? Babies are not wicked. Children under the age of accountability are not wicked. Wicked people are those that receive good from the hand of God. And they be familiar with the gospel. But they say in their heart, room for business, room for pleasure. But for Christ that's crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Listen, friend. No room in your heart for Christ. No room in heaven for you. That's why it is solemn to come out to a gospel meeting and to be confronted with these eternal issues and trust that as the meeting continues, you might be brought to a knowledge of Christ as your Savior. Say, no, I'm not going to resist his claims. I'm not going to only receive good from the hand of God and not return something back to him. And so the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that will get lost. In Holland one time, coming back from a gospel meeting, it was late Saturday nights are our best nights in the Netherlands for gospel preaching. There was snow on the ground, and I got home about 2 o'clock Lord's Day morning because some souls had stayed behind to be spoken. And I was fumbling away trying to get the key into the lock of the door. But because it had frozen as well, I couldn't get it in, so I had to get my mouth close to breathe some of my breath in there to thaw the little bit of ice that had formed. I didn't know, but there was a policeman coming around the bend on his bicycle. And with his flashlight, while I'm down like that, all of a sudden the light shone in my face. He says, what are you doing, sir? Well, he says, I stay here. I live here for the time being. But he was suspicious because of the time in the morning and the way I was doing things. He says, who lives here? I says, Mr. Miedemann. He says, what kind of a business? He says, yes, he's a businessman. He makes brooms and brushes and so forth. But then after a while, he realized that I knew where I was. And he says, all right, I'll give you a little bit of help. And he took out a match, and he was a smoker, and he took out a match, and he thawed it. But he says, it's an awful time to come home. He says, why are you so late? I said, sir, we just had a gospel meeting, and 4 or 5 souls stayed behind to be spoken to, and of course we couldn't leave them. He says, what do you mean, souls? People stayed behind. I said, these people were up to the gospel meeting tonight, and some wanted to be saved. And they found out that if they lived and died as they are, they would be in hell. Well, he says, there is no hell. I says, sir. I says, you're a policeman, aren't you? Yes. Well, he says, if someone breaks the law, what do you do with these people? Of course, you have no prisons and no cells, have you? Oh, yes. He says, anybody breaks the law. He says, we put him in the prison. I says, so does law. And I had him right there. I says, so does God. I says, will we break his law? There's only one place for them. That's now God's eternal penitentiary. But listen, friend. It says in the scripture, in the words of the Lord Jesus, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you tonight, but if you continue the course you're taking and reject the Savior and have room for everything else but the one that gives you breath, the one that feeds you and maintains you, that will be your place. You should have been left. On the 11th of October 1951, I believe through John 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I will save that life, and it's a believing that continues to this present day. It's present and ongoing. I still believe tonight. But I believe that night, that the one that died upon the cross died for my sin according to this scripture. Trust him tonight. And be amongst those that are on an irreversible course, heaven and home for earth.